This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It is a wonderful day to be together in this time of worship, and my privilege to welcome all of you, whether you are joining us here in the sanctuary or joining us over live stream. It's good to be together, and I look forward to worshiping with you in the hour ahead. If you wouldn't mind signing in and letting us know that you are with us, there are registration pads at the end of each row, and if you'll sign those and pass them back down, and if you're worshiping online, there should be a link up on the screen that you can click and put into your browser and register that way. There's also, because we're so high tech, there's a QR code in the bulletin if you want to scan that here at the sanctuary, and you can sign in on your phone because we are moving into the 21st century. Several announcements as we gather together. We got the good news that our youth landed on Friday night back home in the Nashville airport after a week away in Alaska on a mission trip. So for those of you who've been thinking of them and praying for them, they have landed safely and had a really wonderful experience. We'll get a chance to hear more about that and other summer mission opportunities. At the end of the summer, we'll have a gathering and they'll be telling us some of their stories. So we'll look forward to that. Registration for Vacation Bible School is still open. You can go to our website /VBS to register. The theme for the week is Change the World, and they are collecting coins. And if you have coins on hand or throughout the next week or so, you can put them in buckets that are in the Narthex and Reed Hall, and they'll be using those coins as part of their crafts and work for that week. We are beginning our week with Project Transformation on Monday. This is a reading program that helps students stay up to speed during the summer. And we need some readers on Wednesday and Thursday. So if you have some availability on one or both of those days, just reach out to Stacy Harwell Dye and she will get you scheduled to help out. Finally, we wanted to let you know that next weekend is the celebration of the Juneteenth holiday, and there will be a festival in Hadley Park, which is not far from here. And at 2:00 on Saturday, Reverend Keith Caldwell, who's the pastor at C. Hubbard United Methodist Church, one of our sibling churches in the conference, is going to be speaking, and we'd love to show support from West End. So if you would like to join in the festivities, that's Saturday at 2 p.m. As we begin this time of worship together, I invite you to open your hearts, your minds, your lives to the music, to the prayers, to all that we will hear and experience together, for the Holy Spirit is among us.
You have called us to come to you. We have offered, you have offered water as the gift of life. You have said, surely I am coming soon. Let us come now before God with our confessions, with the assurance that who we are, that what we carry, are held within the God of perfect love, who knows us intimately, who cares for us deeply, and whose compassion and mercy have no end. Alpha and Omega, you go before us and come behind us. You are always near, and yet we fail to acknowledge your presence. We try to go our own way. We ignore your invitation to come. We reject the grace you offer us, and we withhold grace from our neighbors and ourselves. We cause harm with our words and actions, and with what we leave undone. Forgive us, we pray. Free us from our captivity to sin and death. Open our hearts to your abundant and unconditional love. Send us into the world with your message of love, mercy, and justice for all. And now, O God, we offer you our individual confessions in silence. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners, and that proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God. Amen. And now, as a forgiven and reconciled people, we will exchange signs of reconciliation and love. If you're worshiping with us online, you may do that in the chat or with people around you. And those of you in the sanctuary may share signs of peace and grace in whatever way is most comfortable with you this morning. The peace of Christ be with you.
Prayer for Illumination. Let's pray together for the prayer of Lumen. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and the word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Lesson from the New Testament. Revelation 22, 12 through 24, 16 to 17, 20 through 21. See, I am coming soon. My reward is with me to pay according to everyone's worth. I am the Alpha, the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. Blessed are those who wash their robes so that they will have the right to the tree of life and may enter the city by the gates. It is I, Jesus, who sent my angel to you with this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the descendant of David, the bright morning star. The Spirit and the bride say, come, and let everyone who hears say, come. And let everyone who is thirsty come, and let anyone who wishes to take the water of life as a gift. The one who testifies to these things say, surely I am coming soon. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the grace of the Lord Jesus will be with all saints. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
Are being seated. I want to invite any children who are here in the sanctuary to come and join me if you'd like. And if you're worshiping from home, just get a little closer to your screens. Welcome, welcome. So glad to see all of you. Come on down. Yay! Oh, thank you for sitting next to me. Well, I want to tell you about one of my favorite words. It was the first word that we all sang together in worship this morning, and it was in our scripture reading that Ella just read, and it's just three little letters. Now, I know some of y'all can't read yet, but I'm going to hold this up for you so the rest of the congregation can see it. The word is all. Remember, we sang all creatures of our God and King. And the scriptures, it said, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. Now, we have another way of saying that here in our church, and I bet you've heard us say it. God loves everyone unconditionally. God loves everybody. And as I think about that, I think about God loves everybody. That means God loves me. So when you hear us say that, I want you to remember that God loves you. God will always love you, and that will never, ever change. So if there's ever a time when you're having a bad day, or you maybe made a mistake, or you've done something that makes you feel bad, remember, God loves you anyway and always will. And if God loves all, if God loves everybody, that means God loves everybody. And so every person we see, no matter how they may be acting or no matter what, God still loves them too. And when I think about that, that makes me want to treat people a little better, to always try and be kind and always try and respect people and help them see that God loves them too. Let's pray together. Gracious God, we thank you so much for this little word, A-L-L, that tells us so much about your love. It helps us know that we're loved and that reminds us to love other people. We want to love like you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you all so much. If you are 3, 4, or 5, you can go with Pastor Maggie and Pastor Brandon to Children's Church. And if you are a little older than that, you can return to your seats with family and friends. Okay, I know it's summertime. My apologies, but it's going to feel a little bit like school for just a few minutes, okay? We're going to start with a pop quiz, okay? I'm going to read the last sentence of a book. And I'm going to see if you recognize what book it is. I've got 3, okay? Number 1, oh, by the way, I had to take out all the proper names so it wouldn't give it away. So it's just pronouns. So if you go check me, you might be like, wait, she got it wrong. But number 1, the scar had not pained him for 19 years. All was well. Harry Potter. You guys got it on the front row. Harry Potter. This is for some of us who are a little older. And they were both ever sensible of the warmest gratitude towards the persons who, by bringing her into Derbyshire, had been the means of uniting them. Pride and Prejudice, the choir's got it. I'm going to preach to the choir. No, I'm just kidding. Pride and Prejudice, Elizabeth and Darcy, be still my heart. Finally, this one's really hard, and if my husband were in the sanctuary, he'd get it like that, but I don't know. Well, I'm back, he said. Close. Lord of the Rings, Samwise Gamgee in the Shire. We had The Hobbit. That was close. When you have a good writer, the last sentence of a book can be very powerful and can have this way of sort of encapsulating the whole of the story. It made me wonder about the last sentence of the Bible. What is the last sentence of the Bible? And does it encapsulate the whole story of God with God's people? What's the last sentence of the Bible? Actually, we're not really sure. We got to stay in the classroom for just another minute so I can explain what I mean by that. The Bible is made up of a lot of different writings, things written at different times by different people. If we just look at the New Testament is a collection of Gospels, the story of Jesus written by different people. There are letters, there's a sermon or two, there's even an Apocalypse, the book of Revelation, which we heard from this morning. And they were all written at different times in different places, and it wasn't until several hundred years later that Christian leaders got together in a church council to decide which of all of these writings that were floating around were going to be collected and considered authoritative, were going to be considered canon, Holy Scripture. And there was a lot of debate about that. And so if we were a congregation in the first or second century, we might have a copy of the Gospel of Mark and a copy of Paul's letter to the Thessalonians and maybe one other writing, but we wouldn't have had all of them. And if a congregation, for example, received a letter from the Apostle Paul, they might then have gone on to copy it and share it so other congregations could have it. So 2,000 years later, as we are trying to piece together the Holy Scriptures, we don't have any original copies of any of these writings. What we have when we discover these ancient manuscripts in archaeology are copies of copies of copies. And so scholars of the New Testament are always looking at all these different manuscripts because they don't always agree with each other. And that's the case with the last sentence of the Bible. There are some manuscripts of the book of Revelation that have this last sentence: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all the saints," which is what the NRSV translation group decided. That's what we heard this morning. Be with all the saints. Now, when we hear that word saints in the New Testament, it usually means all the believers. Nothing more fancy than that. Just be with all the believers. There are some manuscripts that say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with the saints. And then there are others that say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. So which one is it? We don't really know what the writer of Revelation wrote when he put quill to papyrus, or whatever his materials were. But as I did a little more digging around this, I looked at commentaries and scholarship around this, and there's not agreement. But Dr. Eugene Boring from Texas Christian University and many other commentators are in agreement that most likely the best, most reliable manuscripts we have of the book of Revelation end with the word all. But that leaves us as readers and interpreters of the scripture to think for ourselves, to interpret for ourselves. And as we are guided by the Spirit in our own reading, what do we think the ending of the book might be? So this morning I want to tell you what I think it is and give you some of my reasons why and invite you to consider and ponder for yourself. So if we had a multiple choice question in front of us and I was filling in the circle, I would fill in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. One of the reasons I would choose that is because as I look at the whole of the book, what encapsulates the story of God with God's people most closely, I think, is the word all. From the very beginning, we see a God who never gives up, who continues to love and pour out grace, who continues to forgive and chase down God's people, who continues to invite into relationship. And it's always an open invitation. When we see the creation story and Adam and Eve turn away from God, God turns toward them and goes looking for them in the garden. And God clothes them. And as they leave the garden, God goes with them. And even in that moment when God chooses Abraham and Sarah and decides to set apart a particular people as God's chosen people, the people of Israel, God says to Abraham and Sarah, "You are blessed to be a blessing, and in you all the nations of the earth will be blessed." We see God's hope and God's heart that all the nations of the earth would come to God. We see visions in Isaiah and the Psalms of all the nations of the earth gathering at the foot of God's holy mountain. And when we get to the New Testament, the Gospel of John announces to us that God so loved the world that God gave the only Son. The Greek word there is cosmos. God so loved the cosmos. And even when we get to these last verses of Revelation, the writer says, "Whoever is thirsty, come to the waters and drink. Whosoever will." That reminds me of another reason why I choose the word all as my ending of the book of Revelation. That phrase, "whosoever will," was something John Wesley said. as a Methodist, as one who is grounded in the theology of John Wesley, he taught about this grace of God that is available to all. He called it prevenient grace. Grace that God gives to us, whether we know it or not, whether we receive it or not, whether we understand it or not, that is the nature of God toward us, is love. That's one reason why we baptize infants in the United Methodist Church, because it's all God's love. It's a sign of God's love and claiming before anything else. Now, Wesley makes it clear in his theology that open invitation is who God is. We have an open communion table. Whosoever will, come. But he goes on to teach that there is also our response that matters. It is our response to receive God's love, to believe that we are beloved and worthy. And then when we claim that love, to allow that love to shape how we live and how we treat other people, how we treat ourselves and how we treat other people. As I said to the children, claiming God's love for me and for all. As I think about this little three-letter word, I believe there is enough in these three letters for a lifetime of life with God. It is the best mission statement I can think of for myself and for a congregation. On the one hand, if I truly believe that God loves all, that means God loves me. And I need to do that inner work every day to allow myself to accept God's love. I think it takes a lifetime. I think it's harder than most of us admit to ourselves, truly to accept that we are loved. I think that so many of the problems we have and so much strife in the human race is because deep down there are many of us who just don't feel loved, and so we act out. So doing that inner work of receiving and accepting our own belovedness. And then to allow that word all to shape our mission in the world. If God loves all, if God loves everyone unconditionally, if all of us are God's beloved, then that must shape how we treat one another and the kind of world we try to build together. There are so many ways that I see you living that out as a congregation. There are some of you who are so dedicated to the belief that all children should have a free and high quality education. And so you give your life to working in public schools, to tutoring, to working for policies that help that to happen. Some of you are dedicated to the same work for healthcare for all people or affordable housing in our community. Some of you are dedicated to the hard work of anti-racism and making sure that we are building the beloved community in our public life together. Some of you are living this out in ways that are not so public, by visiting with love and care people who are in nursing homes who might otherwise be forgotten and set aside by our society, visiting one-on-one, looking people in the eye, reminding them that they are loved. In a couple of weeks, some of you will be gathered at the Pride Festival, handing out buttons and wearing t-shirts and pronouncing to the world, God loves everyone unconditionally. God loves you. To folks who may not have heard that message from a church in a long time, if ever. There are so many ways that this little word can give us direction, can shape our lives. And so when I close my eyes, when I think of this last sentence of the Bible, I see it on the page there. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. And I zoom in on that word and all the white space that's around it, and I see your faces gathered around this word, all. pointing in all different directions and proclaiming to the world, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with all. It echoes down the centuries from the book of Revelation. May it continue to echo through your lives and mine into our community and into God's future. Amen.
I invite you all to stand in body or spirit and join with me as we affirm together our welcome statement. Everyone is welcome at West End. We gather as the people of God with a wide range of religious backgrounds, education levels, political and theological perspectives. We welcome and celebrate the gifts God has given to everyone.
Every age,
every race,
every gender,
every sexual orientation,
every
ethnicity. We believe God loves everyone unconditionally. Amen. You may be seated. Now, as we come to our time of prayer, I invite you to lift your concerns up to God. If you would like to share those with our pastoral team, if you're in the sanctuary, there's a gray card in the pew rack in front of you. You can fill that out and put it with the offering. And we'll pray for you when we meet on Mondays. If you are online, there is a way that you can submit a prayer request under Contact Us. So we also pray for those every week as well. The Lord be with you. Let's pray. God who sees us all. God who loves us all. We thank you so much for this space where we can come and believe that that is true. We approach you today as your creation because we need your help. Our world is lost and it is struggling. We pray for the safety of our children. We pray for you to give wisdom to those who have power. May you guide and inspire them to make change so our children are safe. We pray for our siblings that live in war-torn countries. And we pray that through the example you set for us through Jesus, that we may lead a life that is loving to one another. God, we pray for our church. And as we are in this season of annual conferencing across all the conferences, may your Holy Spirit descend upon us and descend upon those that are gathered as United Methodists. And God, I confess my personal anger and frustration on behalf of the candidates in Florida that were denied their commissioning because of who they are. God, I pray for healing there. And may we learn so that we do not continue to cause harm, but we create space for people to serve you when they feel called to do so. Help us work together. May we listen to your Holy Spirit. May she remind us of our call to be in community. May she remind us of the work that we need to do to make more space at the table. May we be more like you, O God. Guide our paths and keep our hearts and our minds open to the way your Spirit is at work in us and around us. thank you for all the ways you love us. And now, O God, hear us as we pray together this prayer that Christ taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. As we prepare for this time to give of our tithes and our offerings, we recognize that everyone has a different financial situation. So that we might continue our vital ministries in this community and throughout the world to all, we invite you to give as you are able and as you feel led. For those of you that are worshiping with us online, there are options on your screen for you to give. And those that are here with us in the sanctuary, there will be plates. Let us offer our gifts and our tithes and our offerings and our hearts to God, who loves us all unconditionally.
seats for just a moment. We want to take some time to celebrate Katie Minnis and to pray for her and Quint as they move on to the next chapter of their life together and their ministry together. Here comes Quint. So for those of you who might be visiting with us or haven't had a chance to meet them, Katie has and Quint both have been part of our faith community for about 4 years, and Katie has been working on the staff for 3 of those years, full-time this past year as a pastoral fellow. And she will be commissioned as an elder in the United Methodist Church on Thursday night at 7 p.m. at Brentwood United Methodist Church. You are welcome to come or to watch online to see Katie commissioned alongside Sarah McCain, who is also a part of our congregation and has been supported by us in recent years. But Katie and Quint are in the process of moving to the Paducah area. Katie has been appointed as the lead pastor at Reedland United Methodist Church. And as I shared with 845, one of their pastors went on to become a district superintendent. So, you know, this may be next steps for Katie. But she has been such a blessing for us. I know so many of you have been blessed by her spirit, her ministry, her love, and support. And I'm just still in denial, I think. So that's why I'm holding it together. But we really are going to miss you both very much. And we want to take a moment together to pray for them and to consecrate their ministry to God. So if you all would kneel here, and Stacy's joining me up here on behalf of the staff, some of whom are in Children's Chapel, and we have so enjoyed having Katie on our team. So let us take a moment to pray together. Gracious and loving God, you place a call on each and every one of our lives. You equip us with gifts to share with the world. And you called Katie and Quint to come among us and be our companions on the journey for a while. And we have grown together and loved together and served together. And now you have called them to a new place for ministry and life. And so we give you thanks for the time that we have had together. And we ask your special blessing be upon them as they step out in faith to a new place. We ask that this new congregation that welcomes them will be blessed by their ministry, that they will grow and open their doors to the Holy Spirit, that whosoever will might come and be loved. We thank you for the gifts of love and kindness you have given to Katie, so that she will be the one to welcome them into the front door. God bless their ministry and continue to bless the ministries of West End. May we all bear witness to the love of God in this world. In Christ's name, amen. I'm going to ask the two of you to stand at the Reed Hall door, if you will. We had a reception during the Sunday school hour, but if you didn't have a chance to speak to them, they'll be at that Reed Hall door, and you can give them a hug and offer your blessings on the way out. But now let us stand in body, rise in body or spirit, and sing our closing hymn together. And it's a wonderful hymn, so pay attention to the words. As we go from this place, may we know in our deepest selves that we are deeply loved by God. May we remember that there are people beyond these walls who do not know that. So let us be the ones to show them and tell them. In Christ's name, amen.